That's right. The Drive is live, and is if you were listening to us in the crosstalk, if you just joined us in, we appreciate you. A lot to get to today on this beautiful Thursday. The big news of the day. The big news of the day. And I know Tyler and Cheryl back there will keep a close eye on this thing to see if we get any other new information on what's happening with the big news of the day. But the big news of the day, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, right, Clint, the number one
off-season acquisition?
Probably, right? Number one guy,
yeah,
I would think. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, him or Christian Kirk. Are, yeah. I mean, maybe a month from now it's Nick Chubb, but maybe, right now, yeah. You know, I would say him and Christian Kirk.
Yeah, the number one guy they were able to get in the offseason in the trade with Kenyon Green, which you instantly thought you won. He was carted off. Carted off. He got hurt on a play. He was trying to tackle John Mechie. And he was initially laying on his stomach in pain and doing the deal when you know it's not just the pain, Clint, but players also know what it is.
Vividly remember the kid in Indy. What's the kid that Keeley snapped, the bat Hooper?
Oh, yeah.
He
Tyrese Haliburton.
Didn't he fought when he hit like he knew what happened? Bam!
Banging his, yep. Yes. Willis McGahee also banging in tears. He was banging his fist on the ground, according to reports. He was eventually, Clint, carted off, could not put any weight on it, was reports. He did not walk off the sidelines, was immediately put in the cart. And if you were listening to In the Loop around 12:40 or so, Sean Pendergast, who will join us coming up a little bit later on the show, he reported seeing them take him up to the building where he was going in to kind of get the rest of the evaluation, and he still could not even limp in. He had to put his arms around multiple Texan staffers there, and it didn't look good. It didn't look good, Clint. It didn't seem like it felt good. It seemed like it halted practice for a long time. Everybody was on a knee. You could hear, according to reports, hear and see the concern of everybody, Clint, and it looks like we'll see. He's going to probably miss some time, if not the absolute worst, Clint. And I guess I will start with this with you and the people as well. In your opinion, how big of a hit is this? How big of a hit is this for the Texans losing safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson for at least some period of time?
Well, it's a big hit. I don't think it's a season-changing hit. I don't think it's a defense-changing hit. Like, you don't change what your plan was or you know, anything like that, but there's no way around it. You're losing a ball player. You're losing a guy that has a knack for, talking guys into taking their game to the next level. He has a knack for being around the ball and making plays when it matters the most. He is a hybrid player that can play at multiple levels of the defense. He's got that Super Bowl experience. Obviously, you're going to miss that. You know, that's a big part when you bring a C.J. Gardner-Johnson in. That's a big part of what you're bringing in, a guy that's been there and done it and knows how to lead guys to it, if you will. So it is absolutely a hit to the team. It's a hit to the defense. Not having C.J. Gardner-Johnson, depending on how bad the injury is, I don't know how long he's going to be out, but it looks like he's going to miss some time. Hearing how you know he was carted off the field and it was a lower leg injury, and D'Amico Ryan spoke and is going to. Let us know. That's what he said, was he'd let us know. There's no update right now. Now, here to me is the bigger thing. The bigger, I think, as a fan, what we would, what you'll see is, I think the team, I've talked a lot this offseason about D'Amico Ryan's toolbox, if you will, about how many different weapons he has in his toolbox. And that is what is so impressive. I'll give you an example. Like today, it seems like from all the reports that Kamari Lassiter played outside and inside corner. That's a weapon that you can always go to. If your nickel defender's getting his ass kicked in the first half at halftime, the adjustment can be bring another corner in, move Kamari Lassiter inside, and you get better inside because of his cover abilities. So, you've got several different weapons like that, and I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson was going to be one of them that schematically was going to allow you to do some different things, to show one look and then roll to a different coverage, not just with his skill set, but also with his veteran experience of knowing how to time those things up and how to not screw them up. You know, I think you lose that. You know, you've lost Jimmy Ward to some degree. I don't know exactly what's going to happen with his legal issues off the field.
That becomes large now.
Right, right. That's another guy, though, that not the player that C.J. Gardner is, but every bit of the veteran that allows you to do some different things, has some versatility in his game. So you lose that dynamic with one of your weapons. I think we see that more than we go, boy, well, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the player, it is just killer. This defense just lost a real impact player. I think it's more about what the defense now is limited to, more so than the player not being on the field, if that makes sense.
Yeah. The one part I do agree in a big way, and I said 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, how big of a loss do you think this is for the Texans and their defense? I'm with you. There are some, whoa, shoot. I'm trying to, shoot is not the word I want to use, but there are some, oh, damn. Like, there are some injuries upon this team. I won't even say the names or put them into the atmosphere. You know it. There are some, as you said, Clint, that would make you have to shift, change stuff, get on the horn to go get stuff, do things. There are some shifting injuries to this team that would really make you feel you're in dire straits. I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson has clearly shown Clint to be maybe an emotional leader. He is already on a team that isn't void of leadership, especially on that side of the ball. He's already come on there, and Clint arguably been the loudest voice that you hear out there.
Yeah.
Right? He is right there with Aziz and Will in terms of the voice. He's the one that's coined the boots to, or the belts to asses phrase.
Yep.
He's the one that you hear a lot out there. But even with that, and I think those things are very important, this is still not one of those, oh damn, dire straits. We've got to shift things. It hurts, and it takes away things, almost luxuries that you can have, but I don't think this is something, like you said, that shifts things for you. I think it hurts, but not, this ain't one of the ones that scare the hell out of you.
Look, I think there's five players on this defense that if you lose one of those players for any amount of time, it shifts what you can and can't do schematically. It shifts the way that you got to play defense. C.J. Gardner-Johnson is not one of those guys.
Them. No.
You know, I think offensively there's one, two, three. I think there's three guys offensively that maybe four, counting Christian Kirk maybe. I'm going to leave it at three, though, for right now.
I might have thrown Titus in there, but yeah, maybe.
I think there's three guys offensively that change what you do. I mean, you know, there's some of those second tier guys that obviously hurt, and you've got to figure it out. But it's not scheme changing, and it's not the clouds are falling. So
yeah.
not to minimize C.J. Gardner-Johnson at all. I mean, this is to be a championship caliber defense, you need everybody. You need everybody involved, and this is absolutely a hit. But it's to me, it's more about the flexibility, the variety. The multiple weapons that you have defensively, now you're going to be tightened down a little bit. You still have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to that point, but he was a versatile player, man.
Based off what you said in the crosstalk, you think it's not as much the player, but the ability of what D'Amico and Matt Burke can do and how they can play with different pieces that they have back there. Does it get you to a space where you think they need to potentially be aggressive to bring another piece in, like a piece that is replaceable, or is this a situation where you just kind of promote from within and you look at the guy? Because right now, Jimmy Ward, that's up in the air, but MJ Stewart, who today primarily stepped in and got those reps, Jalen Reed, the rookie you've liked a lot. And then obviously Jalen Petrie has played all of the safety positions, obviously not his strong suit, but he has played obviously those positions. And then Russ Yeast as well? Do you think they need to go out and bring someone in?
Well, I don't think they need to. No, can they? Yeah, and I don't know that it is it because I don't know what kind of. I mean, obviously the C.J. Gardner-Johnson caliber player is not out there, but the point you're making of making some level of a move to upgrade somewhere to give you more answers to the C.J. Gardner-Johnson injury, I think is real, right? I mean, I'll give you an example. If you can find a corner, whether that's the Smith kid out of USC that you drafted, yeah. I know he's had a really good camp. I think they believe in him a lot. Maybe it's him. Can he be this year's Kamari Lassiter? Boom, you shift Kamari Lassiter inside. Now you've got Kamari Lassiter and Jalen Petrie with that safety hybrid experience, kind of like a C.J. Gardner-Johnson. You know, now you've got pieces that you can do some very similar things. You got to – I mean, I'd argue that Petrie has, the potential to be a C.J. Gardner-Johnson type of player that can be a hybrid nickel safety that's more of an instinctual player. Like, they are probably more alike than we've discussed. So I don't know if you go out there and you find another hybrid player. I don't know that that guy's out there. I don't know if that guy's going to get cut. I don't know if that guy's ever going to be available. But to the point of, can you find another corner that you really, 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 really like, and that frees up Kamari, which frees up Jalen Petrie to do some of those. Like, there's angles that you can take. I know they really like Miles Bryant at the nickel defender position. He's been there. Is that the answer? And then you get now Jalen Petrie plays a little bit more of the C.J. Gardner-Johnson role. That is going to be the question, is how do you backfill it? Do you backfill it with corners? Do you backfill it with another nickel defender? Do you backfill it with another true kind of hybrid safety player? We'll see. Again, it's painful either way because you're not finding a C.J. Gardner-Johnson level player out there. I don't give a damn what you do.
Not right now.
I mean, that's a starter off of a championship caliber defense. That's going to be hard to replace.
D'Amico Ryans, who spoke to the media earlier today, you could have heard that on In the Loop in the noon hour. This was his reaction. Obviously, this was the first thing that he was asked by the media. Here's him speaking about the injury to C.J. Gardner Johnson. You got to say it all the way, not just CJ. Some people might think you're talking about somebody else.
Full panic when they think that.
Yeah, of course, it's heartbreaking when you see a guy go down on the field like that and doesn't get up quickly. So I'm always, nervous as a head coach anytime I see anybody hit the ground. It's tough to watch. So we'll see, we'll evaluate CJ, see where he is, but no update at this time.
All right, so no update. We'll see. I know Aaron Wilson said that he would have to get an MRI would be the next step as they continue to the evaluation. From the text line, Clint, as we said, do you think they need to potentially look at bringing somebody in, right? There could be certain injuries, right, where you look at it, you're like, all right, man, they need to bring somebody in to replace that. Text line coming in. Texans will be okay, but I would take a look at Justin Simmons, the former safety. He was with Atlanta.
First thing my brother said today, yep, whenever he texts me, he's like, man, they need to go look at Simmons.
Justin Simmons, who played at a Pro Bowl level with the Broncos, but then went with the Falcons. Like, again, would I hate my team doing that? No. Hell, if you can go get, maybe at least kick the tires on the best. I just, and a lot of it due to what everything Clint broke down, I don't think they need to jump the gun on that. Like, I don't know if they need to do that, right? MJ Stewart is a solid player, and I do think Jalen Reed is somebody that you could bring forward. I know he's a 6th-round pick, but there's something there, and I think they have enough here to figure that out before having to feel the need to go out and go get somebody who will just be joining your defense, and I'm not sure where Justin Simmons is. I mean, if Justin Simmons is available right now on August 7th, I think that kind of lets you know a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if, like, Justin Simmons. It's been a while for me since I've watched him. Like, that's just a safety. That's not a C.J. Gardner-Johnson stylistically or caliber player right now in his career.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't like, if it's just the safety, I mean, MJ Stewart's fine. MJ Stewart can play safety. If you're going to play a lot of shell defense and keep him on the hash and keep things simple, then I think I think he's fine. MJ Stewart's fine. I think the reaction to the CJ Gardner-Johnson injury, if there is one, by the way, we've seen D'Amico Ryans work wonders with a lot less talent than what's left in his secondary, yeah. So I'm not concerned about that. But if there's a move out there, it's a how do you get schematically, how do you find a player that allows you to do the same things that you were going to be able to do with CJ Gardner-Johnson? I don't know that just a safety does that. Right, it's got to be a move. Do you have a player in house with a similar skill set that you can somehow free up to do those things, to take the CJ Gardner-Johnson role and backfill it? Like I said, with a corner or a nickel or how, like, what is the way to do it? I'd be willing to bet you, just off the cuff, it's gonna be MJ Stewart, obviously, in the depth chart. But then when you look at it, I would be willing to bet you that it's gonna be some combination of Petrie. And what's the kid's name? Miles Bryant.
Right.
And Kamari Lassiter. It's gonna be to some degree those three guys right there, all guys with position flex that can do several different things.
It'd probably be a lot of situational stuff.
Sure.
How they want to do stuff. Yeah, a lot of situational stuff of guys they'll use.
Unfortunate though, man. I was looking forward to covering him. From a media perspective, I was looking forward to the Texan fan in me. He's one of those guys that when he's not on your team, you don't like him. But when he is on your team, boy, he is fun to cover. He's fun to watch. And you love all the little antics and the poking in the ribs, if you will, that he does. And so I was looking forward to it, man. Hopefully he can get back, and prayers up to him and the injury and the Texans. And hopefully they can get him back healthy at some point this season.
All right, let's take a look at the Astros. They got a day off today. When we left, they were in a fight with the Marlins to try to get the sweep. They weren't able to do so, and the Mariners won as well. So this race has tightened up a bit. I do have a thought with one of their most important players that I think we can have a good discussion about. We'll do that coming up next.
The Drive is live.
Welcome home.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyers Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, again, the top story of the day, if you are just jumping in, we will keep you updated. Tyler always has his head on a swivel. Cheryl always has hers as well. We will get you any information we have on CJ Gardner-Johnson. He did get injured today. He got injured. D'Amico Ryan said it was heartbreaking to see CJ Gardner-Johnson go down and tough to watch. We just played what the head coach had to say there. He was injured, and it is apparent a knee injury. The field was silent. Players all took a knee. And from a lot of different reports, it seemed like the entire tenor of practice just changed. He was carted off. And we'll see what happens there. According to Aaron Wilson, next steps, testing, MRI expected for Gardner-Johnson, who is currently at the Greenbrier Sports Performance Center being examined by the team medical practice. That was That was a few hours ago. So that is the latest, the absolute latest that we have heard on that injury with CJ Gardner-Johnson. We will can continue to update that. Anytime we hear anything new on that, we will let you all know and pass that along. But tough day out at Texans camp, especially when I heard Sean Pendergast, who will join us at 3:40 today, saying it's been a great 4 days in West Virginia until that moment. So that is the latest there, the top story here in Houston on Sports Radio 610. Clint, yesterday the Astros, they were still in a fight in the late innings when we got done with the show here, but they ended up dropping that game to the Marlins. But that's fine. They won that series. The Mariners did win last night. So that lead in the AL West has gotten tight. The Mariners have been playing really, really good ball here lately. The lead is now two games over the Mariners right now. The Rangers are 4.5 back. Roflo yesterday said it's going to be a 3-team race, and this thing is getting tighter, Clint. So hopefully they can get this thing rolling. They're off today, but they are then going ahead to New York to play the Yankees, a team that's struggling. as well. One player they will not have, Clint, is Yordan Alvarez because he is still in Florida trying to get to a spot where he can join the team. And I'm wondering from you and the folks, you were the one who coined that phrase for about 3 years was Lance McCullers. Luxury Lance.
Bury
That's what you coined
H.
him as. Yep. Luxury Lance. That's what he was. Luxury Lance.
Such
That's
a it. Damn good name.
It was, man. And it just rolled off the tongue. Sometimes you're hit or miss with your nicknames, but that one was fabulous. Have you reached that space with Yordan Alvarez? Have you reached the luxury space with Yordan Alvarez, a guy who has not played since May 2nd? That's 97 days if you guys are scoring at home, three Jordan. Setbacks. Like, have you reached the point of like, hey, I have just rolling on as if he is not going to come back and it will be a luxury if they get him?
No.
You're not in that space yet?
I fully expect him to be back, and it's not a luxury. It's a necessity.
I know it's a necessity.
I'm not quite where Roflo is in a sense of guaranteeing no World Series. If Yordan doesn't play, I think they got enough bats with everybody else healthy. I think they've got enough bats to maybe make a little noise. Now, it's not likely, but I think it's possible. But I am at a point where it is highly unlikely that it's going to happen with no Yordan Alvarez. As you guys have mentioned multiple times in the last week, once in playoff starts, it's about pitching, it's about defense. I mean, good hitters struggle in the playoffs. It's a lot of what we've seen from the Astros this year, and a lot of what has given us hope is the hitters, you know, the hitters like Cam Smith, Jake Myers when he was healthy, Jeremy Pena being lights out. Even I think it's real, but I don't think it's going to be 300 with a damn 900 OPS come playoff time. But Yordan is a player that no matter what the stage, no matter who the pitcher is, no matter what the dynamic is at the plate, he is a problem. He is a problem, and opponents, he strikes fear in opponents. Like I think you're going to need that in order to make a run. I'm not saying that it's impossible without him. It's highly unlikely without him. And so, no, I can't view him as a luxury. He is an absolute necessity if they're going to make this run.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But I am getting real close to the, all right, I am just going to put into my mind as if they're not going to have him. Like, I almost think that is the way in which almost it should be prepared. Like, I feel like they're getting close to a space where you should prepare to believe that you're going to have to go on without Yordan. And then if he comes back, now that's a luxury.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's where it was with Lance all those years when now that we look back at it, Lance wasn't close to coming back. But all those times it was just like, if they get him, hell yeah, great. If not, let's just prepare as if they won't be able to get him. And I'm not quite there yet, because this feels more like maybe Kyle Tucker last year, where it was like, all right, I know he's going to get back at some point. Now, hopefully, if he does come back, he doesn't have the postseason that Kyle did. But it's more like that. But I am getting close to the point of like, I mean, the progress we're getting is, all right, he's back in Florida and he's still progressing. Like, I don't know if that means he's hitting against, I would assume if he was hitting against, like, pitching, they would say it. And we are sitting here August 7th, right? The Texans are about to play their first preseason game. And it doesn't seem like he's not making rehab starts, right? You can see, oh, hey, Christian Javier, he's in Sugarland, and that's getting close. I don't know. I'm starting to kind of get to that point. Someone texted in, Yordan is a non-issue, non-talking point until he becomes available. Only then will he be talk-worthy. Well, I think that's silly.
Jordan's talk worthy every damn day. If also, you're doing sports talking, you should hate to break it to you.
Also, we run the show, and if Rod thinks it's talking worthy, he gonna talk about it, friend.
Well, I mean, I just think it's silly. I mean, I hear you. I mean, I don't think it's
basically what I said. Silly,
I don't think John Singleton is worthy to talk about him being DFA'd. But I do think that Alvarez.
Them bat flips, though.
The best player.
I think we got him back.
Did they get him back? No, did they?
Didn't we get John back? I saw the transactions you put in. The day you were out, Tuesday.
No, they did.
The day you were out, the last note on that transaction was he cleared waivers, and I think he's back in Sugar Land. Is that right?
No, he's not.
I thought it was. I could be wrong. I thought Big Bat Flip is back in the organization.
2 days ago, yeah.
That'd be Tuesday. Big Bat Flip is back. I told you.
Yeah, big boy John Singleton 2 days ago was brought back.
There you go, man. See, he's back, right?
They just keep toying with his heart.
Hey, they're paying the man.
I think he's toying with theirs.
I think he's just toying. Man, they put that nice photo of him and his family out in all those Houston uniforms to say goodbye. How many times has John said goodbye?
Let's just hope that we don't see it again. Let's just hope that we get healthy and we leave John's ass in Sugar Land. We don't see him again until maybe we're done with Christian Walker or something over first base.
Yeah, because when John gets sent up, he's more liable to lose a job.
Well, that means somebody else has lost an injury battle.
Yeah, no, I'm getting close. Luxury Jordan.
Nah, man.
Luxury Jordan, man. It's about to be over. Oh, Luxury Jordan. All right, coming up. Listen, we don't talk about this battle. We've talked about a lot of battles across the offensive line, but there is a real battle in camp, and somebody who seems to do this around this time every year is starting to make a move. We'll discuss that coming up.
What's your hometown?
Port Arthur, Texas, home of UGK. Rest in peace, Pimp C.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Clint, it was obviously a day that was taken over at training camp today for the Texans by the Gardner-Johnson injury. But, Clint, there are some camp battles, right? We've talked about a lot of them being up front on the offensive line. That's been a big one. The center battle has really jumped out. Hell, the swing tackle situation has jumped out. But the receiver one is interesting, Clint, right? I think we've got an understanding of maybe the top part of this group, but the middle part, that other part, there is going to be some battles between some guys that have been here a bit and some guys that are new that just arrived. That will be interesting once you get past the, Nico's and Christian Kirk's.
Yeah, look, I think it's a two-tier competition, if you will, or battle, if you will. I think you got, as you mentioned, Christian Kirk, Nico Collins. And then you've got, if we're talking playing time, I think the 3 through 6 receiver battle, the 3 through maybe even 7, depending on how many special teams they play, I think that playing time is a very interesting conversation. Now, look, if we're talking about a roster spot, then it's about 5 through 7. Right, because the two rookies out of Iowa State are going to be on the damn roster, so there's 4 roster spots taken. But if we're just talking playing time, you're talking about wide receiver 3 through 6. Who can go out there in training camp and prove that they can pick up this new offense? Who can go out there in training camp and make enough plays to earn one of those roster spots and earn that playing time? Who does it consistently? And you've got, yes, we're talking playing time, not roster spots. You've got a bunch of unproven, what I would say, second, third, fourth year guys that are going to be battling with the two rookies out of Iowa State. And it's back and forth. I think now you've got different bodies. You got different types of bodies. You got different play styles. So for the sake of not going into what each guy does well, I do think you've got Higgins, who's a guy that I think he's had probably 2 big days in camp. maybe one of them, actually one of them was the mandatory mini camp.
Yeah, I was going to say, where he got that one hand
yes.
from CJ.
Yeah. He's shown some promise, a couple of different times. I think Jalen Noel, one of the rookies out of Iowa State, he has shown promise, I think, consistently. Not quite as bright of the flash, if you will, as Higgins, but he's shown consistent, I'm available, I'm quarterback friendly, throw me the football. Right? He has consistently been that, whether it's Davis Mills or it's CJ Stroud or it's the third and fourth string quarterback, that he's the ball just seems to find him. Right? And then you get into that tier of receivers that I said are third, fourth guys that I would say there's even a couple of veterans in there that are maybe even older than third year. The Watson kid that they signed, the Berrios kid that they signed. Yeah. You know, they're a little bit longer in the tooth. But that group right there is also, I think, battling for playing time. And I'm going to tell you, Ron, today, and I think even last year, because we can go back last year, you want to talk about a guy that plays at or above his ceiling all the damn time. You want to talk about a guy that plays every special teams and in a pinch is going to Dari Agumbawale us. In other words, your kicker's hurt, Dari can kick it, right? In a pinch, this guy in the return game can play. This guy makes tackles on all the special teams, the punt, the kickoff team. I mean, in a pinch, he's going to make a lot of plays behind the scenes, but in a pinch, this guy steps up and steps up big. Last year, we saw it. I heard John Lopez and Reginald Atatula and Figgy talking about one of the biggest plays of last season. And I'll be damned if Xavier Hutchinson wasn't on one of them, the scramble catch that C.J. Stroud scrambled and threw to him.
He seems to keep finding his ass in playoff games, doesn't he?
There's no doubt. I'm telling you. And you remember last year, Ron, you remember sitting in Canton last year, and we were talking about how much C.J. played, how much this guy played, how much that guy played. And we were really watching – what receiver were we watching last year? Was it Mechie that we were –
I was trying to watch Mechie, Hall of Fame game, and he went in and took over.
That's it.
He keeps doing it.
It doesn't matter what quarterback's in there. It doesn't matter what if it's a preseason game. It doesn't matter if it's offense or special teams. It doesn't matter if it's a playoff game or regular season. Every time the Houston Texans give Xavier Hutchinson a shot, the dude goes out there and makes plays. If you want to pick his game apart, yeah, he's not the biggest, fastest guy. I don't think he's ever going to be with the Texans and be a starter. I don't think he's ever going to go into the season and say, boom, this is one of our top three guys. I don't think it's ever going to happen with Xavier Hutchinson. But I think there is a level of confidence with C.J. Stroud, with Nick Cayley, with D'Amico Ryans, with Nick Caserio, and being the wide receiver coach, McDaniel. I think those guys have a level of confidence and trust in Xavier Hutchinson that they don't have in anybody at this point that's not named Nico and Christian Kirk.
Yeah, those top.
There is a level of trust in it. And I only say that to say, my man went out there today and had a damn day. My man went out
there. He's been having days too,
yes,
Clint.
And yes.
He's been getting looks with the ones as well, a lot more than some of those other guys that you named,
yes,
that he's in their group.
Yes. So we're talking playing time. We're not talking about the roster spot, right? We're talking about playing time. So wide receiver 3 through 6 with this team, Xavier Hutchinson is a guy that is making as strong a push as anybody. Now, he doesn't have the second round draft pick. He doesn't have the resume in terms of draft pick or even tangible skill set that some of these other guys ahead of him have. But damn it, every time he steps on the field, he makes plays, and you absolutely cannot ignore him. Xavier Hutchinson is showing up and showing out damn near every time he gets the opportunity. Today, from CJ, in the first drive of team, a slant for a big gain, 20-plus yards, over the middle of the field, over linebacker Toa Toa, right? Mills, couple drives later, Mills, it's a bootleg, deep crosser, touchdown, 30-plus yards to guess who? Xavier Hutchinson, right? C.J. Stroud, I think this was a little bit more of a red zone type of period here for the Texans, but some little zig route. I don't know exactly what that means, is how it was described on social media, zig route, but he catches a touchdown from C.J. Stroud. Xavier Hutchinson, Ron, is a guy that is going to make it impossible for these guys to cut
him. He keeps doing it.
They've
tried to draft over him a couple of times. They've brought in Diggs. They've brought in, yep, guys. And he brings so much to the table, as you spoke about. He's going to play every, yep, special teams in the way that John Mechie isn't able to. He's reliable and always there. in a way that some of those guys aren't. And when I say some of those guys, I'm talking the Nikos, yeah. I'm talking Diggs. Because if you remember, I don't think there's ever been a play in his first 2 years that he'd be a guy to be available to make a scramble catch against the Chargers in the playoffs.
Yep.
Or him to be a guy that comes up with big catches in the second half against the Colts in that you know basic playoff game at the end of the season, yep. his rookie year. But he is always there and always seems to be in the rotation. And you're like, damn, all right.
Yeah.
He's not great, but he's reliable and he's there all the time.
You know, the interesting thing to me is that besides the fact that we've seen it in important moments in big games, but it's with every quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, I've been the guy at that level where – you go in the game and you've never thrown. I mean, I played entire third quarters, entire fourth quarters in preseason games and was throwing balls to guys that I'd never thrown live balls to in my life. Yeah, we'd stay after practice and throw a couple slants. I'd never took a snap in practice and threw a slant or threw this go route to this cat. And all of a sudden I'm in a game with him and it's like, all right, let's go get it done. It is extremely difficult. And I only say that to say it don't matter. We're watching the two new guys this year, plus the two guys, Mills and C.J. Stroud. Case Keenum was one of them. It was Case the one that played in a bunch in him and Davis Mills last year.
Davis Mills is the one he was really getting busy
with. No, what's the other guy? The other guy still in the damn league somehow that I thought a hot take was going to take. He was going to take Davis Mills' spot last year. The quarterback, big, tall, thin kid.
Josh?
No, you're thinking, about the one that was almost a head coach.
I know you're talking about. Yeah, he played with the Dolphins.
You're thinking of Kyle Allen, but I'm talking about
with the Dolphins.
He's still in the league.
Yeah.
He's still in the league but playing third string quarterback somewhere. But my point is that guy got in that game last year and Xavier Hutchinson had a couple of catches. The most important part, most impressive part of Hutch is that it don't matter what the situation is, it don't matter how early or late in preseason or regular season or playoffs it is, it don't matter who the quarterback is. The quarterback friendly aspect of him is real. We've seen it time and time again. He's in my wide receiver.
Yeah, and every time you think like, all right, man, he's on the bubble, man. He's a guy where you start doing numbers, and we've done this. We did it last year. You start doing numbers, and it's like, all right, man, is he going to make this team? And then he does stuff where it's like, hell yeah, he's got to make this team. You can't justify keeping somebody else over him. And I bet you in this preseason game against the Vikings, you know he's going to get every bit of two quarters.
No question.
And I bet you in some way – he stands out. I ain't going to say he's going to have 100 yards or something, but I bet you like that Hall of Fame game we went to, he had like 50 or 60 yards or something, and he was one that really stood out. He's one you can't get rid of. Keep trying. You keep trying to.
Well, that guy
that'll
play every special teams too, Ron, typically is not a guy that's worried about getting injured, right? A lot of guys are worried about it. He's not. I mean, and so when it comes to blocking – at the wide receiver, which we know this group loves. We know D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio, boy, they're talking about them wide receivers blocking. Now, they damn it, they're going to block. Now, they're ate up with it, and he obviously does that well, too, and does it wholeheartedly. So, it's good to see Hutch have a big day, man, and kind of separating himself there a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, good to see that. And the offense completing some balls, mm-hmm. like that, getting some chunk plays as well. Even if it was him. There you go. Shout out to the text line. Tim Boyle is who you're talking about.
Tim right? Boyle, there you go.
Yeah, I remember Big he played Boyle. For the Dolphins. I remember he...
Where's he at now?
He threw a bunch of interceptions in that... there was a Black Friday game he played in, and it just threw a whole bunch of picks, I believe, for the
Jets.
He was
giving them away, huh?
Just out there, just terrible.
That's right. He was with the Jets.
Yeah, Tim Boyle. I remember that. All right, coming up
as
we continue...
Makes some money, but he bounced around in some bad organizations, don't he?
CJs are the story. We'll tell you about... catch you up on the latest with CJ Gardner-Johnson and then CJ Stroud. That's coming up next right here live on the drive.